Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of your word, to have it in our hands, the Bible, in written form. Wow, what a blessed people we are. Blessed above all nations. Would you say amen to that? We are blessed to have the word of God in our hands. Through the Wittenberg Press and all the things that took place hundreds of years ago, Father, we have the Bible with us today. We thank you for your written word that can give life. As the Holy Spirit breathes on it, it can become life to our spirits. For you said your words are spirit and they are life. And Lord, we open our hearts right now to receive, like soil, the planting of your seed into our life to bear fruit a hundredfold in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I got an illustration for today's message I'm going to use here this morning. All right. Tool time with Pastor Scott. All right, here we go. This is a screwdriver. It's actually a Phillips screwdriver. Around about 1935, a guy named Henry Phillips bought rights from a man named John Thompson to a screwdriver that has a little cross shape to it, right? My wife calls this the plus sign screwdriver, okay? But it's called Phillips because Henry Phillips bought the rights to it. John Thompson had the invention. He's credited with patenting the design of this screwdriver previous to Henry Phillips acquiring it. John Thompson had failed at getting it, the invention, to take off the ground. Nobody had interest in it. And you might say he quit just a little bit too soon, because Henry Phillips took it, ran with it, altered it a little bit, ran with it, and took it and sold the idea to the auto industry, and you know the rest of the story, right? We have the plus sign screwdriver today because of Henry Phillips. That's why it's called a Phillips. With this tool, I can take a wood screw like this and drive it into a block of wood, ever bit so slowly, unless I'm frustrated with the home improvement job I'm working on, and then I'm driving it in much quicker, right? It'll get the job done. But now this is a power tool, right? And when I need to get this wood screw into this block of wood, I could take this. That baby's going in there all the way through. Damage my pulpit, okay? That's the power of a power tool. Now, your wife would say, or your mother would say, wear your goggles when you use your power tool. Right? Wear the goggles. Praise the Lord. Power tools are better. They're more efficient. They will save you time. And they are a force multiplier. Amen? All the guys said, amen. Thanks to Mr. Phillips for the invention, but we took it a step further with our power tools. And power tools help us, just that phrase, the force multiplier, actually is a military term. Think of it like this. In World War I, they took barbed wire, combined it with machine guns, and you had a real good defense system, right? Because if the enemy's coming your way and he gets slowed up in barbed wire, because nobody wants to rush through barbed wire, what happens when you rush through barbed wire? You get barbed. Okay? It's not a trick question. And then the machine guns get you, right? So that's a force multiplier. You combine two things together, and that's a force multiplier for good defense. So we're talking about power tools today. This series that I'm on right now is going to be termed power tools for the next several weeks till the Holy Ghost says stop. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to begin there today. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses. I'm going to read from the King James Version today. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. Let me say this about verse 2 and 3, because it seems like an odd filling in the middle of this spiritual gift sandwich. Verses 2 and 3 are basically saying this. You got saved because of the Holy Spirit. All right? It seems like it's a verse out of place, but always know this. The Holy Spirit wasn't ADD when he wrote the Bible.
Sometimes he'll say something, and then two or three verses will seem like he just took off on a rabbit trail. The rabbit trail is always related. Amen? You can always believe that the rabbit trail is related. So verses 2 and 3 simply refer to the fact that you and I got saved. In other words, we confess Jesus as Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad all these worketh? It's like a power tool with a good battery. They all worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Praise the Lord. Spiritual gifts. We're talking about spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? First of all, the word spirit in the Greek language was the word pneuma. You ever heard of pneumatics? What are pneumatics? Things like air tools. Thank you, Colton. Pneumatics are tools that work by air. When we say the word spiritual gifts or the Holy Spirit, it's derived from the Greek word pneuma, which means like the wind, the air, the breath of God. Think of it like the breath of God. The pneuma, these are spiritual gifts. They operate like God is breathing here in the room himself. Think of it like wind. What is wind? Wind is an element in the earth. It's a powerful element. Amen? We know about that pretty well along the Gulf Coast here. Don't we? Through hurricanes. Wind can be very powerful. The gifts of the Spirit can be very powerful. It's like a wind blew into the room. Amen?
Amen.
So these are spiritual gifts. I like to think of it like nuclear power. Or atomic power. There's not too many other comparisons on the earth that seem more fitting in their dynamics than to say nuclear power or atomic power. The gifts of the Spirit are like that kind of power. Very potent, radiating with power. You might say it this way. In the credit card commercial we heard years ago, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. Why? Because it's a very dark world out there. Jesus told his disciples, you've lived with me 3 years, you've walked with me 3 years, it's not good enough. You need more power. How much more you and I? Amen? Because we're walking by faith. So Jesus says, when I send you out into that dark world, I'm going to fill you with power. And the gifts of the Spirit are not just for the church, they're for that dark, dark world out there. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Don't leave home without them. Brother Malcolm shared last week, I thought it was very fitting. He made the remark, he said, why are so many people leaving churches around the world? Why is that? There's no power. They're bored. Nobody wants to come to church and not see the power of God move. Amen? Paul said himself, he said, the kingdom of God comes not only in word, but in deed.
Amen.
Amen? We should see healings and miracles when we come to church. We should see the wind, the pneumatics of the Spirit in our midst. Amen? Now, it's not always the same. You can get into a rut. A church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit can get into a rut and see, after a while, it almost becomes like, you know, well, Sister so-and-so, about 11:35, she's going to stand up and give a word in tongues, and brother so-and-so is going to, you know, it can become like rote, and it can lose its potency real quick if you get it. We can never, we don't want to put God into a box.
Amen.
Let him be the wind. Amen? Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said this, the wind comes from you don't know where, and it goes you don't know where. And he compared that to those who are born of the Spirit. Listen, you and I are supposed to be as mysterious in the moving of that power. Not weird, mind you, but unique in the fact that we listen to the Holy Spirit and we move with the Spirit as if we were a sailboat moving with the wind. Amen? People can't predict us. I'm looking around the room. I see some of you in here. I know that you're already operating that way in your life. And I know that in your world, in your sphere of influence, you're unpredictable in the Holy Ghost. Because why? You listen to the wind. You're moved not by circumstances, not by things around you, but by the wind, by the pneumatics, the breath of God. Amen? And you and I are supposed to be driven by, led by the breath of God. There was a man named T.L. Osborne, a great healing evangelist decades ago. He first went to India, and the story goes that he went to India and came back after a short time just really discouraged, because he went over there to preach the gospel, lead people to Jesus, and he, in a sense, went over with this, but didn't have this. Well, he went back the second time. He brought his power tools with him, and he started praying for the sick, and he started seeing healings and miracles. Well, hey, it doesn't take long for the gospel message to get out once people hear of the cripple down the road being healed and walking, you know, to market now instead of on crutches or whatnot. So, praise the Lord. History has shown that where the power of God is demonstrated, we can get a whole lot more done for the kingdom. Amen? Whole lot more done. Now, I want us to look back at verse 1. We're going to chew on these verses, these first 11 verses, actually 1 through 8, just a bit with me. All right? So let's take it, put the word under the microscope for just a moment here, and let's chew on that. Look at verse 1. Paul starts off by saying this, "Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant." I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant, as we say in the South. All right? Paul does not want the church to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, and I don't want you to be either. That's why we're teaching on it. People grow in the area that you teach on. And so he says here, don't be ignorant. The Greek word there, it comes from a word called agnoeo. What does the first part of that remind you of? Agno. Agnostic. An agnostic is a person who believes that anything that could be reasoned about God is unknown. Not sure. And is unknowable. An agnostic is not necessarily an atheist. They're just a person that says, well, nobody can know for sure about God. Right? There's no surety about God. That's what an agnostic is. And it comes from that Greek word, agnoeo, which means not to know. Listen, Paul says here, I don't want you to be people who are uncertain. I want you to know. Amen. We're called to be people in the know. Did you know that? Well, if you didn't, I'm making you aware this morning. Okay, for the first time. You're called to be people in the know. Why? Because our God is in the know. Amen? Our God is in the know. We're people in the know. They said this about Jesus in Matthew 7:29. If you're taking notes, just write it down. We don't have time to turn there. They said, the people were in awe of Jesus, Matthew 7:29. Why? Because he didn't teach like the Pharisees taught. He taught as a man who had authority. Listen, saints, when you operate in the breath of God, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you are operating in authority. Unquestionable authority. Authority that cannot be questioned in the sense of it cannot be denied. Amen? Lord, when you step out and you give a word of knowledge about this or that, and God confirms it with the miracles that follow, no one can deny it. Amen? We're people who are called to be in the know, not called to be uncertain, not like an agnostic, not like somebody who's ignorant. Paul says here, I want you to be people of the know. K-N-O-W. You follow me? I'm not saying no like no. I'm saying K-N-O-W. We're called to be people in the know. Look it down in verse 7. Verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit. Now that's an interesting phrase. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I want to chew on that for just a minute. The manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, when you and I operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we are manifesting Jesus. Amen. It's like Jesus is walking the earth again. And again, going back to the question, you know, that Malcolm proposed last week, Brother Malcolm, he said, why are so many people quitting church? They're not seeing Jesus. They're not seeing the power. They're not seeing the manifestation of Jesus in the earth. When you and I operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we are manifesting Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus said of himself, he that hath seen me hath seen who?
God.
The Father. Right. And so Jesus was God the Father revealed in what? Thank you, Alan. Flesh. Jesus was God the Father manifested in flesh. Nobody had ever seen that before.
That's right.
When Adam and God walked in the garden, God wasn't manifested in the flesh. It was a different... You mind? You with me? The Bible doesn't say how he was manifested, but he wasn't manifested in the flesh. It does say they walked together in the cool of the day. There was a knowing. Adam knew God was with him.
Yes.
But it doesn't say the Bible that God walked with him in the flesh. But when Jesus came to earth, this was a first-time experience. Jesus was God the Father manifested in the flesh. But then Jesus left us. And he said this in John 14:16. Again, well, I'll go ahead and have you turn there. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12. We're not done there. But look over in John 14:16. John 14:16. Folks, if you don't catch all this today, I'm sorry. I got a lot of notes here, so I'm moving at the clipper pace. So please go back and listen to this message again and again. If there's something you miss, take good notes. Stay with me as best you can. But that's why we put it on the internet, so you can go back and listen. Amen? John 14:16. Look what Jesus says here. I will pray the Father. He shall give you what? Another. The King James says, another comforter. In the Greek, that word another is the word allos. A-L-L-O-S. That Greek word means this. One of the same kind, the very same kind, the same kind of everything, a duplicate. So when Jesus ascended on high, who did he send to earth in his place? One of the same kind, one of the very same kind, a duplicate of who he was. That's why he comforted his disciples. He said, don't be shaken up here. I'm leaving, but someone who's just like me, in other words, the comfort, the joy, the peace that you feel when you're around me, you 11 guys, we'll leave Judas out today. You 11 guys, that same peace, that same joy you feel when you're with me, you're going to feel it when the Holy Spirit comes, because he's the same kind of me. Okay? Amen? So listen, the Holy Spirit, we said this earlier, Jesus is God the Father manifested in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is Jesus the Son unleashed on the earth. Amen? Listen, when you think of the day of Pentecost, don't think of some religious little fancy church service that just got a little bit of goosebumps that day and a little tongue of fire. No, I'm telling you, saints, it was like heaven parted and a flood of Jesus' Spirit came to earth and was unleashed for all of time. Amen? Yeah. It's not been changed. He didn't go, rain down and then go, and suck back up to heaven after the day of Pentecost was over. No. He unleashed his Spirit because of his resurrection, because of all he accomplished on the cross. His Holy Spirit, the very duplicate of himself, was unleashed on earth for all of time. Amen? That's why he said, your sons and your daughters, in other words, your offspring will continue prophesying. They will see visions. They will dream dreams. In other words, Jesus was saying, this is going to go on and on and on and on. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus didn't want it to end it ever, did he? He said, this is meant to go on in your life, your children's life, and your grandchildren's life forever. That's good preaching right there. The Holy Spirit, Reinhard Bonnke is quoted as saying, he's not just some, you know, we don't put him in the corner. He's not the odd stepchild in the family. Okay, he's not the odd weird uncle in the family. He's not the weird member of the Trinity. No, he is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He is God.
Amen.
When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about the gifts of God.
That's right.
It's just that they come to us through the Holy Spirit. You see, there's three members in the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all three God. Jesus is God. God the Father is obviously God. And the Holy Spirit is no less God.
Amen.
So listen, I want you to, when you think of the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to think of power.
Amen.
This is potent stuff. This is the real deal. Now, verse 8. Close my Bible too soon there. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Look at verse 8. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, which we'll talk about either next week or the week after. We'll get to the word of wisdom, but we're going to cover today first. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And what I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, he said the word, not words plural, but word singular of knowledge. The word of knowledge is given by the same Spirit. We're going to talk about the word of knowledge today. This is today's power tool, saints. First of all, I want you to see this. It's given. To one is, what does it say?
Given
by the same Spirit, the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? It is a gift.
Amen.
It's not a wage. You don't earn this. It's given to you, and it says there, for the profiting, in another verse we just read in those series of verses, for the profiting of withal in the King James. It means it's for the benefit, for the good of another. So first of all, I want you to see this. The gift of the Holy Spirit of the word of knowledge, first of all, it is a gift.
Amen.
You can't earn it. You just reach out and receive it on behalf of someone else. It's not for you, usually. Although it can be sometimes. It can be for you personally. But we're talking about giving, receiving a gift from the Holy Spirit to give to others. Okay? In this context. It's not acquired through study. We're not talking about the gift of knowledge. Don't let anybody ever fool you into get or confuse you into what this is. You know, we don't say, you know, well, John over there, he's so smart. I think God gave him the gift of knowledge. That's ignorant. Paul said, don't be ignorant. Okay? No, it's the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, John over there may study real hard and he may become a smart man. That's just knowledge acquired. You can acquire knowledge by studying. I've known people who just love knowledge. They love to study. They're trivia suckers. I mean, they just suck in trivia all the time. You can tap them and they got some new. You can ask them about anything. They know, you ever met somebody like that? They know a little bit about everything. That's not the gift of the word of knowledge. That's just knowledge, okay? It's knowledge run amok, maybe misused sometimes, all right? But we're talking about the gift of a word of knowledge. Why is it only a singular word? Because let me tell you, sometimes one word is potent enough. If God were to reveal two or three or five, it might be too overwhelming to the person, all right? Well, we're going to show you some examples in a moment. But by saying this, now I went to school with some pretty brainy kids. Some kids that you think, man, were you born in the hospital with books in your hand? I mean, you know, I've been around some brainiac kids that just, you know, kind of unnerve you. But that's not what this is talking about, okay? You can be as uneducated, as unlearned in the natural as anybody else in the sticks, and the Holy Spirit can come on you and give you a word of knowledge, and it can break the chains over somebody's life. It can set somebody free just like that, because it's like a nuclear weapon. It's powerful. It's a word of knowledge given by God, given as a gift by the Holy Spirit, and it can change somebody's life drastically. It is this. It is a glimpse. Think of the word of knowledge, again, because the word is used in singular. It's a glimpse of knowledge about somebody, either a person, place, or thing. Okay? It's a glimpse in the mind of God concerning a person, place, or thing. It's a glimpse. It's a sliver. It's not the whole picture. Paul said it in another verse. Look over in, you're in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Just flip over to chapter 13, look in verse 12. He said here, now we see through a glass how?
Darkly.
Darkly. Underline that. Because not everybody who moves in the gifts of the Spirit sees the whole picture. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. So what happens when you start to move out in this gift? Sometimes you hit the bullseye, and sometimes you're seeing through a glass darkly, and you may be a little bit off in your targeting. Does that mean we quit and say, I'm never going to be used by God again?
No.
Never want to, you know, flow in the Holy Ghost again. No. You live and learn. You live and learn. I've gone up to some people and say, you know, I was praying and I felt like the Lord showed me this. And they say, shake their head no. And I walked off and said, I missed it. Then I had another guy in my store one time. I was talking to him. I said, tell me about your left shoulder. He stopped what he was doing. He said, why did you ask about my left shoulder or right shoulder, whatever it was? I forget whether it was left or right. But he had had all kinds of martial arts, sports injuries in that shoulder. So when the Holy Ghost said, I think it was right shoulder. So I said, tell me about your right shoulder. All I got was two words, right shoulder. But I asked the guy, I said, tell me about your right shoulder. Well, that opened up a whole can of worms. And I was able to pray for him and say, the Lord wants to heal you in that right shoulder. I don't think he even knew Jesus. All I got was two words as I went to microwave some food in the kitchen. Right shoulder. So what do? You take that word of knowledge. It's not the whole picture. I didn't have no clue what was wrong with his shoulder. Had no clue how it got damaged. All I knew was right shoulder. So I spoke what I know. Listen, when you begin to move out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, saints, you say what you know and you leave the rest to God. Amen? I'm teaching you right now how to work in this. This is hands-on today. I'm teaching you how to work the power tool. You don't always know. Sometimes you see through a glass darkly. You speak what you know.
Yes.
That's all you have to do. And sometimes it's so potent it'll knock people back and they'll be like, how did you know that? Are you a mind reader? No. It's called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God knows. God knows. This is, saints, I want you to see this. You and I, it is actually a matter of life and death that you and I learn to flow in the know.
I'll talk about God's no.
Yes.
Think about it on 9/11. If you had been an employee that was supposed to be in the umpteenth floor of one of those twin towers, and you woke up that day and you either did or did not listen to the Holy Spirit that morning. There was testimony after testimony after testimony of people. I don't even think some of them were Christians. Said for whatever reason, they missed their taxi, their train, whatever. Didn't show up for work. Some overslept. Some just knew in here, I shouldn't go to work today.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with that? You better obey it. Could save your life.
Amen.
Why? Because God loves us.
Amen.
He gives us a glimpse. He gives us knowledge when knowledge could save our very life. Amen? So the word of knowledge is, it can be a matter of life and death. I want you to ponder this word of in that phrase. The gifting of the word of knowledge. I want to pause on that. I don't want to rush too quickly past that little tiny word of. And I want you to understand this. It is a word infused with knowledge. Think of it like this. It's not just the word of knowledge. You can just read your Bible too quick sometimes. It's not just word of knowledge. It's a word that is pregnant with what? Knowledge. It's a word full of smarts that could save your life. It's a word full of smarts that could save somebody else's life. Amen? It's a word infused with, comprised of, such knowledge from God that you and I can take it to the bank. We can take it to the bank. And so you're witnessing to somebody and the Holy Spirit says, Grandma. Just gives you one word. You're just talking to this person, talking to him about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit says, Grandma. What do you do with that? Well, you could pause and say, what do you mean, Lord? If he doesn't give anything else, just look at him and say, tell me about your grandma.
Yeah.
And they go, why are you asking about my grandma? Well, she went to church a lot. and I'm telling you, it can open up a door.
Yeah.
Because they feel all of a sudden God has shined the spotlight on them in a way that you could have never known.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? It's a word, singular, of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of knowledge. It's full of His knowledge.
Amen.
And saints, we're called to walk in His knowledge. Some of the greatest men of God who saw people raised from the dead, people healed, all kinds of miracles. I'm thinking of Smith Wigglesworth right now. He was a plumber in England. Okay? Not an executive in some big corporation, not driving a Cadillac. He was a plumber. You with me? Salt of the earth person. Gotcha? We all need plumbers, but thank God for plumbers. Okay? But he learned to hear the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I was talking with Brother Malcolm last week. We went out to dinner. And he told me a story about a friend of his. I think the guy's name was, Malcolm, if I get this wrong. Stormont, I believe, was his friend's name. And his friend Stormont was walking down the road with Smith Wigglesworth in England one day. And as they're walking down, there's lots of gardens and flowers in England. You know, they're big into that, gardens, right? And as these two are walking down the city lane, they're people, elderly people, from what I understand, from what Malcolm told me, were oftentimes given the jobs of keeping these flower beds up around the city. The government would pay them to be a culturist around these flower beds and so forth. And so as they're walking down the lane, Smith walks up to a man and he sees a man crouching down there weeding this flower bed, and he just walks up and he says, he's actually having a conversation. He said Wigglesworth was often known to do this as he's walking around town. He'd be having a conversation with God, even with walking with a person. And he stopped and he goes, okay, Father, I'll do that. So he walked up to the man and he slapped him on the back and he says, do you know the Lord? The man falls into the flower bed, turns around and, yeah, I know the Lord. And Smith goes, okay, Father, I did what you told me to do. And he walks on. A while later, I don't know if it was years later, I don't remember the time frame, but Stormont, the guy that was walking with Wigglesworth that day, later told the story, and this got back to Brother Malcolm, how that the man that fell into the flower bed that was slapped went back to his church. I believe it was a Methodist church, if I'm not mistaken. It was a more of a denominational type church. And that church got set on fire for
Amen.
Jesus. Because that man said, nobody ever asked me if I knew the Lord the way that man asked me to. And a while later, years later, I believe it was, Wigglesworth caught wind of, via Stormont, that this church had
just caught a blaze in the spirit because this man went back and someone just simply asked him, "Do you know the Lord?" So sometimes you step out in a word of knowledge, what you believe the Holy Spirit's showing you to somebody, and it may feel like a dead end. You may give the word and they may go, "No." You go, "Okay," like Smith Wigglesworth, he said, "Okay, Father, I did what you told me to do." And you walk on. Saints, when we're operating the gifts of the Spirit, we leave the results to Him.
That's it. Yes.
Amen? Just leave the results to Him. We don't have to make it happen. This is not about you and I making it happen or us being some powerful, you know, cosmic power on the earth. It's about His power released. And it's released in the word of knowledge. It's released through a word. Sometimes it can be a question. Sometimes it can be a single word. But it's a glimpse. It's known. The word of knowledge is an expression of known facts in the mind of God regarding people, places, and things, and it has to do with the present or the past. Now, next week or the week after, we're going to study the word of wisdom. I know this is real practical this morning. This is school of the Holy Spirit, okay? But we're going to talk about the word of wisdom. That has more to do with the future. So when we're talking about the word of knowledge is a word spoken related to facts up to the present moment. Okay? So this could be facts. You could be standing before someone and you could say, "Are you having headaches right now?" And they go, "Why would you ask me that?" Well, because it's going on right now and the Holy Spirit gave you a word of knowledge that they're having headaches. Or He may just say, He may speak in your spirit, "Headaches." And you ask the question. So it has to do with facts in the mind of God. In other words, folks, again, you can take this to the bank. If God said it and you're hearing clearly, it's true.
Yes.
First of all. It's not called the word of guessing.
Yes.
It's not called the word of maybe. It's the word of knowledge. It's based on truth. Truth and facts known up to the present time or the past. Okay? Have you been struggling with depression? You ask that question, okay? You could ask that, somebody that question if the Holy Spirit spoke that to your heart. In other words, up to the present time, has this been an issue for you? That's a word of knowledge. You follow me? So it has to do with either the past or the present. In the Greek language, this word, knowledge, when we say the word of knowledge, that to one man is given the spiritual gift, the word of knowledge, it's the Greek word gnosko. Can you say gnosko?
Gnosko.
Sounds like I'm teaching you Italian. Gnosko. I'll take some of that. What's that ice cream they call it?
Gelato.
Gelato. I'll take some gelato with my gnosko, right? It's knowledge that is face to face. It's intimate knowledge. It actually is the Greek word relates to the intimacy expressed between husband and wife. It's that close.
Amen.
You with me? Face to face. It is a word of intimate knowledge. I like to think of it as this. I believe the Lord gave me this phrase. It's the kiss of the Father.
That's good.
It's so intimate. It's the kiss of the Father. The word of knowledge is never to embarrass somebody, to expose them, to show their imperfection. No, it's the kiss of the Father saying, "I know you face to face. And I love you." I wrote this down. This is original. I love this. This is great. Not to show how much God knows, but to show how much God cares.
Amen.
The word of knowledge is given to people as a gift by the Holy Spirit, not because of your smarts or my smarts. It's a gift given by the Holy Spirit to show that other person or to show you. Sometimes the word of knowledge is given to you for your benefit. Okay? But it shows how much, not how much God knows. We know He knows everything. But it shows us how much He cares. It's the kiss of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
You remember years ago when you walk in the mall, they had those big placards? And the map of the mall. And especially if you go into like the Galleria, it's like, you need that map. Trust me. And in the middle of the map or somewhere off to the side, you see in red letters, it would say three words that say, "You are here." Sometimes the word of knowledge is given to tell that person, God knows you are here in life. Right? The purpose for the word of knowledge lets that person know God knows where you're at. And that can be so reassuring to people. Amen? Listen, folks, I want to say this. When you're stepping out to give the word of knowledge, when you're stepping out in the things of the Spirit, you're going to have to push out of your comfort zone. Any volunteers? If you want to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to what?
jump out of the boat, walk on water,
but it's worth it. Because in some circumstances, the only way other people will be comforted is if you lose your comfort zone.
That's good.
Yeah. I'll say that again to myself. The only way that other people in some situations you and I find ourselves in, or some encounters in life, the only way that other person is going to be comforted by the Father to receive the kiss of intimate knowledge and show them God knows where you're at. And God cares about you, is for you and I to step out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask the question. You don't answer this now. You answer it with your actions in the weeks to come. Are you willing? Are you willing? Because it might look a little foolish to ask a total stranger, excuse me, sir, are you from Sweden? Excuse me, ma'am, did you recently break your left hip? Excuse me. You know, when you step out in what you believe the Holy Spirit is giving you to speak as a word of guessing, no, a word of knowledge, gnosko, face-to-face knowledge. You are listening and you are face-to-face with the Father in your relationship with Him so you can hear on your radar scope what God wants to say to them in intimate knowledge. It takes a little bit of bravery. It takes courage. Takes courage. I heard a story of a man who stepped out in ministering to people, raising people from the dead, raising people out of wheelchairs. And he said one of the first times he did it, he pulled a guy out of a wheelchair. He said, are you ready to be healed? Pulled the guy out of the wheelchair. The guy fell flat on his face. And of course, you can imagine the horror and shock of the whole congregation. And people can't hide that. It's like you guys before the service when the microphone goes, woo, and everybody's, ah! You don't sit silently. And so when this person fell on the floor, people were aghast, and so they expressed, aghast. And what happened? The fear of man overtook him. And of course, he embarrassingly put the guy back up in his wheelchair and kind of went home with his tail tucked between his legs after that service and said, Lord, what happened there? And God told him, he said, fear of man. Fear of what people think. So we got to throw that out the window, saints. Why? Because we're called to be people who are in the know.
Amen.
And people who walk in the know, in gnosko, face-to-face knowledge from the Father, these people walk as Jesus walked, not as the Pharisees, not as religious leaders, but as one having authority.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So when we begin to start to walk out, step out in the word of knowledge, it's going to be scary at first, but I'm telling you, on the other end, when that person receives a word from you, because you're going to do this, right?
Yes.
I'm not just up here reminding me to do this, right? You're going to do this out there in the dark world, right? Where it's needed the most,
yes.
Where people need comfort, where they need to know that God knows where they're at and God cares.
Amen.
Well, it's going to take a little courage, and you're going to have to lose the fear of man. Paul said this, we became fools for Christ. How many of you are willing to become a fool for Christ Jesus? Did you know when you got saved, you lost all hope of a good relationship? Jesus said, woe to you when men speak well of you. No, they should see that you and I are people in the know with authority. Turn over to Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to land this plane soon, I assure you. Hosea. It's near the book of Daniel. If you can find Daniel back in those minor prophets, Hosea is just around the corner. Daniel's a little bit bigger. Hosea is one of them smaller books. It's a little harder to find. But Hosea chapter 4, I want you to get this. Verse 1. And next week, we're going to continue on this series with some Old Testament and New Testament examples. We're not going to get there today, I can tell you that. Unless you guys set the timer extra long for your roast in the oven. Anybody here like that? No? Okay, I thought not. Okay, Hosea 4:1. Look at this. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because what? There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There's no truth. There's no mercy. There's no knowledge of God in land. Why are people quitting churches?
They're not encountering God. And what does Hosea say the description of God is? Truth, mercy, equates to the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Jesus, it was said of Jesus in John, John 1:17. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Listen, when you walk in the room, guess what should walk in the room with you? Grace and truth. Mercy. Truth, like Hosea said, and the knowledge of God. We bring the spotlight everywhere we go, Rebecca. Everywhere we go. Yes, we operate. Paul said, you're in the world, you're not of it. We're children of the light, not of the darkness. So wherever you and I go, we carry the potential, I should say. You and I have the potential. Did you know that you have the potential for all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit we read in 1 Corinthians 12? And we'll get to them in time eventually. Not today. I'm not going to cover them all. But you and I have the potential of an arsenal of power tools when we walk in the room. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting those tongues, gifts of healings, gifts of miracles, gifts of faith. All 9. Did you know of those 9 gifts, 7 were in operation in the Old Testament?
Amen.
7 out of the 9. We can see them all through. There's examples all through. And we'll get to those in time. The only 2 that were not there were what? Can you take a guess, class? Rabbani, you're not allowed to answer here. I know you. I'm teasing. You can answer. Which one? You can name 1. Oh, she's protesting. Okay, class. 2 gifts of the 9 were not found in the Old Testament. I know you know them. Speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Why? Because their spirits were not yet born again. See, the Holy Spirit came on the prophets of old and gave them the manifestation. The other 7 manifestations came on in different times throughout the Old Testament. You'll see the working of miracles, gifts of healings, a discerning of spirits, but not speaking with other tongues and interpretation of tongues because their spirits weren't born again yet. See, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. How much more then should we who have just, not just the shadow, but the reality of the covenant, be operating in all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? Amen? You and I can operate in all 9, and we're going to get there. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. Are you excited? I'm going to arm you with some power tools in the coming weeks. You're going to be a church out there that's dangerous to the work of darkness. Because when you take the nuclear power I'm talking about by the Holy Spirit, not the word of guessing, not the word of maybe, but the word of knowledge and other power tools like it out into the world, I'm telling you, it will be a force multiplier. And it will have great effect in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here and you're igniting in us the desire, the knowledge of how to operate and move in these gifts that you want to give to men for the profiting of all. Lord, I thank you for a release of those gifts in our lives in the coming days. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Have a great day.